Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to quantum think again. I'm so excited about having the opportunity to learn how to think better. We always want to think better. And to help us in our quantum thinking is the author of the book, Do You Quantum Think?, Diane Collins. Diane, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we also have your husband, Alan Collins, who is a wonderful coach and a quantum thinker himself, and a great opportunity for us to discuss this together.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. It's good to be here.
Well, I'm so glad you could. And we're going to look at, first of all, let's look at the idea of quantum thinking to bring everybody back to the story of what we're talking about. Quantum thinking is necessary for the transformations that we're going through in life to make this a better world. And in order to make it a better world, we really do need to think in new ways. So you've written a book on how to accomplish that.
Exactly. And there's a distinction that we make in our work, that when people think about, you know, everyone needs to think in a new way, our systems and structures are changing, our lives are changing, we're feeling, you know, kind of soulful, purpose-related yearnings to do something new with ourselves, and we know we have to think in a new way, and of course the Einstein, I call it modern-day mantra, the problems we have cannot be solved with the same level of thinking that created them.
It's like we can't figure out a new way.
Exactly. We can't figure out a new way, so what do we do? And of course, we make the distinction that there's a difference between a new idea, an innovative or novel idea, or what people commonly refer to as out-of-box thinking. Quantum thinking is not out-of-the-box thinking. Quantum think is actually, as you're pointing to, a new system of thinking, a leap in consciousness, a literal expansion, and making distinctions and differences in the whole way we relate to reality. So it's not just having a new idea, so that when you make this expansion, what happens is the ideas that will emerge from it, spring from it, are new because you're in a different context.
Right, but it seems to me that that is out of the box, because the box is what's contained in the old.
Well, the box is this. Here's the thing. In Do You Quantum Think, the distinction is transformation as distinct from change. If you're thinking inside or outside the box, what's present is the box.
Okay. I love that.
So you're not really, that's what I mean.
Yeah, let's forget about the box.
Right. Outside the box, maybe you're thinking of a new idea, but it's in the same context called whatever the prevailing box
is. You could be boxed outside of the box.
Right. So what we do is that let's create from a system of principles that are more accurate in sync with what we know at the edge of scientific discovery, knowledge, which happens to converge with universal wisdom that is common to most wisdom traditions, and make that modern so that we can actually live it. And it really is all about living the wisdom, not just knowing or, you know, proclaiming or, you know, proselytizing. It's all about living it. And how do you do that? It's through integrating it by bringing something into your awareness in such a way that it shifts your relationship to it.
And what are the principles you were talking about?
Well, quantum think is made up of 21, and I know like Diane likes to say 21 plus 1, distinctions in thinking. That is the actual system. She was referring to transformation as distinct from change. That's one of the distinctions, and they're about, if you were reading them or listening to them, they would be taking about 20 minutes of your time, you know, to actually get engaged with them. And there's also there's a recreation associated with each one of the distinctions to have you become aware of the essence of that distinction. So when you walk around in your day and you're interfacing with the people in your family or just, you know, in the bank or your boss or your colleagues at work, you start to become aware of when you are being limited by your own thinking.
We could take an example.
Okay.
I know you like to do this, Alan.
Okay.
Is to, as you say, use the book as an oracle.
Right.
So you're sitting here with a copy of the book in your hand.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so what, you know, whenever I'm talking about quantum thinking, and people always say, well, what is quantum thinking? You know, what do you mean? And I could give you the premise, which is that we make the leap that I discovered, and I call it my revelation, that we are shaped by the prevailing worldview. Our thinking is actually, as you would say in the book, it's shaped by the whole system called the worldview. So we're in a digital age, but our thinking is very much machine age.
I was thinking that while you're talking that we use a lot of deductive reasoning and sequential reasoning. And that's only based on what we already know.
Exactly. So it's analysis, because the old, what I affectionately called the old worldview from the industrial age, which gave rise to machinery and a lot of, and has really trained us, as you're pointing out, Peter, to be analytical, deductive, to have all the facts in front of us, all the circumstances laid out before us, and then make conclusions from what has already been. Where we're in an age now where we know that the main paradigm shift from the industrial age to the quantum age is going from a matter-based conclusion about the nature of reality to a mind-based. Now, when you're starting with mind, you can literally distinguish the limits of your current thinking in any given moment in space-time, right now. And in order to actually be at choice in what can you create now that will work in this situation, in this conversation with your partner, whether it's in business or any place else, somebody in your family, or with yourself, where you don't have to be stuck with the mechanistic ways of thinking from the past. So,
and that creates a need for a great sense of presence.
Can I give you an example of that, actually, how that might play out?
Sure.
in daily
Please.
Life? Because, you know, like, just let's just take as an example an accountant. That's his job, as an accountant, right? He's a great accountant. And one of the qualities of being an accountant, one of the talents or skills of being an accountant, is being analytical. You need that. You need that for your job, because mm-hmm. that's what you're doing. You're analyzing numbers. Now just picture this accountant going home after a busy day, and he walks into the house, and his 15-year-old daughter is having a meltdown because her boyfriend told her he doesn't want to see her anymore. And so the accountant goes right into his analytical mode with his daughter. Well, what's his daughter going to do? She's going to get even in more of a state. She's going to be crying. She's going to be upset. She doesn't want to be analyzed in that moment. And she's going to run out of the room. And that's not what he really wants. That's not the level of communication he really wants.
But his mind is reacting in his analytical way.
He's
figuring it out.
Exactly.
Because he's limited by that system. And he wasn't able to see it until after he saw what it caused. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't be able to see it. But now, so from when you're quantum thinking, you become aware of this. And you know, you're aware. As soon as you start to go into an analytical conversation, you would catch yourself because you have been introduced to a more expansive system where you know that you have the ability to create the experience you want your daughter to have, where you're not stuck, you're not looking at the circumstances of your daughter. You actually know that you can create the experience you want her to have. And in that instant, one of the distinctions called observer-created reality, where you are creating an intent for the experience you want somebody else to have, because we do it all day long anyways. We're always creating an experience for somebody, but we're not doing it with awareness. So quantum think brings people mm-hmm. into a state of awareness about themselves, their environment, the people in it. And in that moment, this wonderful accountant can actually catch himself, create the experience he wants his daughter to have, and she will feel it. And he will be able to contribute to her in the way that he really intended to do in the first place.
It's so interesting, because you have to be very self-aware and at the same time be able to put the brakes on of your standard path of least resistance.
Yes.
Right.
Which is the old way, and that gets you nowhere usually, because it's been the pattern that keeps on repeating itself in life that hasn't worked. The
right.
daughter and might feel like her father doesn't understand.
That's right, exactly.
And you see, exactly. I call this the myth of choice. That in every, the old mind science, as you think, so you become. The Buddha said, all we are is the result of what we have thought. The Upanishads read as, I can't remember the exact quote, but it's along the same lines, the Bible, as a man thinketh in his heart. So when you realize, okay, even to someone who hasn't studied any of these philosophies, just in normal everyday life, it's logical that our thinking, everything begins in thought. And our thinking does literally shape our actions, our experiences, therefore our reality. So what you're saying, Peter, which is a very good thing to be highlighting, is that when we're in these automatic least action pathways, the way the energy goes, because it's been that route before, that what I call the myth of choice about that is that we're not really at choice, because as you pointed out, it has to be awakened thinking. What is awakened thinking? Is thinking beyond your automatic conditioning, and it doesn't matter, there's no analysis here, so it doesn't matter, where did it come from? I'm saying it came for all of us from just having been at that stage of evolution from the 17th century when we needed as a humanity to organize things, to categorize, to come up with the different scientific disciplines for research, for whatever reason. And it gave rise to that. But now we're in a quantum age. Now we're in an age of ageless, timeless, beyond, functioning beyond time, where because of our amazing technologies that we no longer need to accumulate information. We have it at the touch of a smartphone. We cannot catch up in a step-by-step how-to world, because everything is accelerating, complexity is increasing. So when you come to your own thinking, we have the opportunity in every moment to choose, to create, the way that Alan just gave a real example that was from one of our clients. And yet, unless we're awakened to our own catching yourself in the moment, in the automatic way, which becomes very, very simple and natural once you're able to make these distinctions in thinking systems, and what's shaping your thinking right now, it's like, oh, there's that least action pathway. Now, what's my intent right here? And return yourself to where you can choose. And what you're doing, and essentially, is you are creating a relationship to those thoughts that keep you stuck. I know you and I and the three of us were having a conversation before the show about, you were asking about being stuck.
Right, and when we are, let's say we are very aware that we don't want to repeat patterns that don't seem to get us out of a stuck place, how do we know what the next step is, other than we know we need to do something different? Maybe different means just to keep quiet.
That could be. That's a good place to start from.
It's interesting, actually, because when we become aware of something, you know, what Diane's referring to, these least action pathways, which is an element of one of the distinctions called infinite possibility. What keeps us from infinite possibility are the least action pathways, the automatic mechanical thoughts that are going on. But once we become aware, and as she was saying about free choice, about having choice, you might choose the same thing that you've been doing. But when you choose it consciously, it will actually have a different outcome.
And I really love that, because then, see, without that, then there's a fear of any thought that might come to mind, thinking that it's still in the same old paradigm, and being afraid of your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So I would think a lot of people are afraid of their thoughts from where they don't know where to be.
You know what? When you start quantum thinking and you're thinking in new principles, well, what is one of the principles? Is we exist in fields. Now, from a matter-based reality, you're not thinking of fields, because you're looking at only the ordinary five senses, what you're picking up, and we look in the physical dimension separate, and objects look separate. But actually, there is no separation, only distinction. So when you're thinking, when you realize that we're in fields, as my friend and mentor, our friend, Dr. Fred Allen Wolf says, you think you're a body with a mind inside, but really we're more like a body floating in a big mind, an intelligence.
So most of the thoughts are
not even ours.
Right. To know you're plugged into a bigger mind, and freeing yourself to allow the oracle to work.
That's right. Let's use the oracle, but wait, because we'll have some fun here. But to make the point that when you said people are afraid of their thoughts, and what we advise people is that these, you know, to be able to make a distinction between thoughts that are visiting you through the atmosphere, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Because you could walk into a room, and if it's a room of tense people, you can feel it. But it's not your tension that you're feeling. So it's something like that. There's a thought field, right?
Yes.
And a lot of the thoughts that are passing, they're just passing through. They're not ours, so there's nothing to be afraid of, because when you can make a distinction, I say, what thought, you want the practice. What thought is visiting me right now that's giving me a distressing experience? And then realizing, you would not, if you were truly at choice, you would not be choosing that thought. You would not be choosing a thought, I'm not, you know, the I'm not good enough, I call it wretched self syndrome. You wouldn't be, if you were choosing, you wouldn't choose that thought. So then you can make this distinction. Oh, well, that thought is wherever it came from, I'm not going to own that, because it's not even mine. And this is what I mean by you're creating a new relationship to thoughts. And then you have access to actually generating a new intent, what you do want.
So there's also a purpose of quieting the mind. Even when you're in this place, let's say you're in an environment where you're not happy, because people are in places that don't feel comfortable to you, and you're at the effect of that, there's a way to just cancel it in yourself and say, okay, I have this. It's not going to go away necessarily, but I don't have to own it.
Exactly. And in thus doing so, you've created a new relationship to it. So we would say it like this. There are circumstances, because as you and all of us know, and everyone listening, you can't always choose the circumstances. I mean, maybe at some soul level, depending on what your beliefs are, we do in some sense, right? At a deeper level, but let's just say in ordinary everyday life, you can't always choose the circumstances. What we do have always 100% authority with, sovereignty with, is our ability to create our relationship to the circumstances. So as you just said, Peter, we don't have to own that thought. When you become in an awakened state of awareness, and you're, of course, right on, that immediately kind of puts you in the quiet, that state of quiet alertness, where we call it being centered.
We're used to thinking that our mind knows enough and will figure it out because our mind can deal with it. And there are so many things now we're learning that our mind can't deal with based on figuring it out.
Right.
So we have to surrender and give it up to some other patterns that are going to show up in our lives that will refresh us, renew us, give us another perspective.
Another perspective, and that's quantum thinking.
There's another distinction in the book, and then we'll go to the oracle thing.
Let me just keep talking about the oracle.
There's another distinction called allowing, which is the passive aspect of what allows us to create. So we see the intent is the active principle, and allowing is the passive principle. So when you create an intent and you start to understand how quantum thing works, they're both working at the same time. But when you create an intent, you have your attention and your conscious awareness on something specific that you want to create. Then you understand how allowing works. Because what happens with allowing is you begin to see what is coming your way. You begin to see the circumstances that are presenting themselves, whether it's people and what they say, or new people coming into your life.
But that's over time.
No, it can happen. It could be over time,
right?
But it could be over a day.
That's what I mean.
It could be and you begin to see, like, some people may go out of your life. People, you know, maybe a client you've been wanting to do business with, and for some reason you're not, that person says, I don't want to do business with you, or whatever they say. But you begin to see whatever presents itself as relating to your intent. The intent doesn't always mean good things coming towards you. It means that you begin to see what is coming towards you in the context of that intent. And that's pretty powerful, because then you don't get upset when you think things didn't go your way. You begin to see things not going the way you thought they should go, as now you see them more in relationship to the intent that you created. That needed to fall away for what you want to come in.
Right. And today, I was talking with Barbara Marks Hubbard, and we were talking about everybody running around saying the sky is falling.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we're actually we're creating a new sky. So we can
are.
Hold that. Mm-hmm. Right. So,
and it's simultaneous.
Yeah. What we're afraid is happening is actually an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to figure out what's happening, and it doesn't make sense. It only disappoints us.
Right.
And yet it's actually making way for something that...
That's right.
Can
right.
Be so
because
much
we're
better.
Trying to figure it out inside of an old system that's limited.
Perfect.
So you cannot get full access to what's happening, because that's only part of the picture.
We really have to hold that understanding of life.
Yeah.
Is that we don't know any better. We really don't.
Well, what do you mean?
Because we're judging things based on old concepts and old understandings. So we don't, those old ways of thinking don't work, because then we go into judgment about something that we shouldn't be in judgment about.
Yeah, and that's all part of that automatic way from the past that is, I'm saying, conditioned by the old world. You know, it was a mechanical worldview.
Exactly. That's why we don't know any better, because we don't know any better according to the old way of thinking.
That's right.
Well, that's limited. So it's not like we're trading one in for another, because then you're still, you know, you're being under the influence of the either or, which was that. Because it was, let's say this way, the scientists said we want to predict and control, it had to go this way or that way.
Right. So, but if you think it has to go a certain way, then you're still in the old.
That's right.
Exactly. So this is where you break free, literally, the quantum leap in consciousness is you go to the both-and world of a quantum reality,
right,
where you can hold simultaneously the breaking down of the old and be fine with it, because you're in the more expansive view, knowing that in order for something new to emerge, right, it sometimes requires a breaking down of the old. Now, I wanted to go into something more instantly, because I know, for example, sometimes with my mother, who is 89, and I love her dearly, and she loves me, but we can come into, because this is what's real for people, right? I mean, there is the big collective conversation, but there's also the moment, because you said, oh, but it takes, okay, it takes time. And sometimes I know that, you know, I'll be going into picking my mother up for dinner or something, and my least action pathway, familial, mm-hmm, right, will start kicking in, like, oh no, what is she going to be like tonight, you know. But then I realize, catch myself in that least action pathway, create an intent, and even in the moment, if things do start to get a little reactive between me and another person, I'm using my mother in this instance. I actually use mother because that's the closest relationship.
We can
right?
all
mother.
Use family members.
We can all use family members, but there we are with mother. So it's that in the instant, it's happening. When you have this level of awareness through this, what we call the art of distinguishing, new worldview of learning, bringing something into your awareness instantly, in the moment, you can create an intent right then and there for the experience of this relational field. And that kind of creating is instantaneous. You'll start to see, as Alan was talking about, the results consistent with the intent.
That means you're very present and surrendered and living in wonder and open to opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's great. So
let's
we
get our
need
message.
To get to the oracle, and we only have a few minutes left.
A couple
of minutes left.
Let's have a question.
The question is,
what are the best parting words for the show? What can we give the audience
that
they would love to carry with them?
Okay. And that's Peter great. Is going to open the book.
Two.
And it's to a quantum think wave, which these are thought forms that are in between each chapter, like a surprise, because they're not even in the table of contents or the index. And this one is called, It's About Time. Just in case you have had any doubt whatsoever that we are living in an observer-created reality where, quote, what we bring to the situation is what we get, and there are no absolute realities, other than whatever you think of as divine, probably. But quantum, I'm adding a little here. The quantum reality basic thing is just reflect on time. We live in different time zones, so which one is the real time? Even the time zones themselves change according to the minds of the, quote, officials in charge of changing such things. Even in the same area,
So what this says to me is get out of the way of time, because time, people are so urgent about things, and this has to happen in sequentially even, and we have to toss it in the air and allow it to find its way.
Right, because as you're, and it's more than that, because what I'm talking about there is that get out of the way of anything that you're holding as an absolute reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is where we get stopped. This is where we get stuck. And when you can recognize that the most fundamental principle of the quantum perspective, not my, you know, I'm not saying I made this up, just the principle of science, is that, and this is the beauty of it, this is what gives us real choice. There is no absolute reality. we get to say how it's shaped in every moment.
Let's live that way. Diane and Alan Collins, it's so great to talk with you about quantum thinking. How can people find you on the web?
My website is www.dianecollins.com. It's Diane with two N's, DianeCollins.com. And you'll see there access to my book. We, Alan and I, do a free ultimate study group for readers of the book. And
thank you so much.
Thank you.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Steward, ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. And I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, HEART River.org. And thank you so much for listening.